back here. I always have. I look forward to being back with you all with much fondness, and I love and feel at home here with all of you. So glad to be here. Pastor Brad asked me, why am I standing down here at this podium? Well, that's because that's his podium. This is my podium. I feel more comfortable down here. I like being on the floor. I didn't want to wear a mic, but Matt said I had to wear a mic also. So I'll wear a mic, and I'll stand at this podium. But let's see. Since I left here, I spent almost 6 years in North Dakota as the church camp director at Cooperstown Bible Camp. And if you don't like winter, don't go to North Dakota. If you love winter, well, there's a great great amount of snow and some great people out there. So head out to Fargo area, Cooperstown area, and you can enjoy snow to your heart's content. If I never see another flake of snow, it won't bother me too much, I don't think. But let's see, there for 6 years, and very good and challenging and wonderful place to be. And I was able to serve along Oliver and Sam and Kim for some time there, along with Carolyn and some others. I just kept hiring people that were leaving Scioto Hills because they're some of the best people I knew, so why not have them out there? And thankful to be there. And then towards the end of my time there is when Amber and I were reunited after first serving in 2006 together. She was 15 and I was 25 at the time, but we didn't really know each other all that well at that time, but reacquainted in North Dakota, married, and we've moved around a bit since then. We've moved four times. We lived in a tent for 2 months in Charlotte two summers ago. So that was quite the experience after we'd moved there to work with my brother for some time. I went through two hurricanes there in a tent, which was really, it's a story to tell, right? It's kind of fun. We haven't camped a whole lot since then, however. And now we work with World Vision, so a Christian humanitarian aid organization, and we travel around with their mobile events, experiences, sharing the opportunity to see struggles and challenges around the world from the, I don't think comfort's the right word, but from your own church, to be able to see some issues pertaining to child abduction, human trafficking, things like that, and where World Vision gets involved with that. So we continue to work with them, and we live in Columbus, Ohio. So we get to come down and visit you all, go to the camp, and be closer than we have been in some time. Let's see. Other than that, Pastor Brad. Okay, so I have to say something about Pastor Brad here. Leaving roughly 7 years ago along those lines, it has been extremely, extremely difficult. Not fair to the other people that I've sat under, but the amount of respect and esteem and the privilege it was to sit under you as a teacher, as a pastor, is something greatly missed in my life, and it's really unfair that I compare everyone else to you. For their sake, it is unfair. So you all are extremely blessed to be here and have Pastor Brad all these years, and Lord willing, many more to come. So, and that is kind of what brings me to what I'd just like to briefly share with you here this evening. As I've been reading through some of the Gospels, reading through especially John, but also Mark and Luke here recently, there have been some words that have been sticking out to me, some words that kind of catch in my mind and trigger thoughts, and maybe I spend a little too much time thinking about those words, but I hear words like come and see, follow, taste and see, maybe even, or abide, and I see some of these phrases depending on the different translations you look at, and they've really just been sticking in my mind over and over and over again. We hear phrases such as in Mark 1:17, Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." In 5:27 of Luke, Jesus is speaking to Levi, and he says, "Follow me." And I love his response. He just immediately gets up and follows. And I think that's the kind of follower of Christ I want to be. I want to be the guy that immediately gets up obedience is doing the right thing at the immediately, right? And I want to be able to follow Christ like that. And so I hear these words and I think of these things and I think about what it is to follow Christ, what it is to abide in Christ, to have a relationship with Christ. And So I'm going to ask a question of you as you think about some of those words and think about your own relationship with Christ. And it's not my question, so it's going to be a good question. It's a question by John Piper. And so in his book, God is the Gospel, he says, if you could have heaven with no sickness and with all the friends you've ever had on earth and all the food you ever liked and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed and all the natural beauties you ever saw and all the physical pleasures you've ever tasted and no human conflict or any natural disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ were not there? And then he later says in his book after this question, he says, propitiation, redemption, forgiveness, imputation, sanctification, liberation, healing, heaven. None of these is good news except for one reason. They bring us to God for our everlasting enjoyment of him. If we believe all these things have happened to us, but do not embrace them for the sake of getting God, they have not happened to us. Christ did not die to forgive sinners who go on treasuring anything else above seeing and savoring God. And people who would be happy in heaven if Christ were not there will not be there. The gospel is not a way to get to heaven. It's the way to get people to God. And Matt Chandler, in his book, The Explicit Gospel, much more succinctly says, heaven is not a place for those who are afraid of hell. It's a place for those who love God. And as Pastor Brad reflected over the last 30 years of he and Sherry's ministry here, time and time again, reflecting upon knowing Christ, making him known, of proclaiming Christ, of sharing the gospel, and abiding in Christ. And so that word has just stuck with me over and over and over and over again, of what it means to abide in Christ. So I want to turn to John chapter 15. And so this is a passage that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, and I've gone through time and time again and probably looked at different points from time to time in this passage. But we're going to just start at John chapter 15, verse 1. And Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. And so time and time again you hear this, abide in me, abide in my love. And I continue to think about what does that look like on a day-to-day basis as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, what does that look like? And honestly, during my time of leaving here, of going away to graduate school and then heading out to North Dakota, you know, I thought my time at Scioto Hills, I thought that was where I would be the rest of my life. And so leaving the ministry there in the beginning of 2009, and then leaving the area and going to Cooperstown after that, there was a lot of challenges, just like you can reflect back and think upon the challenges in your life. So losing at that time my dream job or ministry position at the camp there, and loved what I was doing there. And then going out and experiencing record flooding, that Oliver got to be a part of that with me, where we stayed up hours on end just trying to keep our office from flooding. And spending a night in a ditch from a whiteout blizzard. And then in the spring of 2012, my dad passed away. And that was one of those times where God introduced some verses to me that's really been almost up through this time since then, of a process of reminding about himself and the goodness and who he is and his character. And I'm a slow learner when it comes to things like that. And so after going through several of those challenges and through some different challenges there at camp and with my dad passing away, kind of being the culmination of that, in preparing for then the summer of 2012, Psalm 34, 8 through 10. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And so I think as a result of my time here at Wheelersburg Baptist Church and working alongside so many great staff members at Scioto Hills, there have always been kind of two sides of thinking about God for me. There's been the side of God as sovereign and God as good and loving. And the side of God as sovereign for me is just really easy to see. So disasters come, going through the biblical counseling training, reading Trusting God by Jerry Bridges, which I've handed out to quite a few of those of you that were in the youth ministry during my time. I gave that book out a lot and still do. Seeing God as sovereign over all circumstances of life, but having a really, really hard time at times seeing God as good when those challenges come in my life. And unfortunately, I've spent way too much time judging incorrectly God's goodness by the experiences of my life. I'm sure none of you in this room have ever done that, right? But that's kind of been the process that God has had me on. And so in the last several years, there are times when I look back and I see God's goodness. I see it a few years after the fact. And sometimes it's getting to where it's a few months or even a few weeks after the fact. So maybe more and more and more realizing the importance of what we see in John 15 here of abiding in Christ. And realizing that it's not our circumstances. He's not saying, see goodness in me, taste and see the good circumstances that you have in Psalm 34. He's saying, abide in me and abide in my love. Take refuge in him. And so on a practical day-to-day basis, I'm just always thinking about how am I doing that? How are we as believers doing that? Because we know life is busy. We know that all kinds of things come up from time to time and time that really distract us and pull away from us. And as I shared with the guys for breakfast this morning, the idea of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, of taking off everything that hinders and every sin that so easily entangles, even the good things in our lives that become distractions, that we get caught up in seeing God's goodness, viewing God and his goodness towards us through the circumstances of our lives. And so in my book, in my thoughts of things, you all are amazing people and circumstances in my life, and thankful for so many of you. And while I'm thankful for that and praise God for you, I need to, even in the good things, come back and be more and more focused upon abiding in Christ, trusting in him, seeing his goodness, seeing his character, praising him for the amazing gifts and things and people that he places in my life. But ultimately, as we hear in those lines from John Piper of, you know what, if you could have all of those people, no sickness, no trials, all of your leisure activities, all of your favorite food, and no Christ there, it doesn't really matter. And you're not going to be there if that's what you're looking for. And so I come back again and again and again to this idea of abiding in Christ. And so each year I usually start a journal and I start writing out words throughout the course of the year that I don't start a journal. I continue journals. I used to finish journals. Now I just continue until I finish them. But I start writing these words. And so some of those words that end up in my journal, come, taste and see, follow, abide. And that word abide has really, really been just sticking with me. And so I know that as you're blessed, like I said, with Pastor Brad here, and as you study, and there are a lot of opportunities, as Pastor already mentioned, between Sunday school, between the biblical counseling, and just the amazing fellowship of amazing believers here at Wheelersburg Baptist Church to continue striving, pursuing, seeking after Christ, of fixing your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And so I was challenged. Scott gave me a hard time. He thought I was going to share J.I. Packer again, but it's really J.C. Ryle in J.I. Packer's book, Knowing God. So I am going to share that with you, just like I shared with the guys this morning, because I think about what does it look like to abide in Christ. And as I read through this, I think, this is what I want to be. And so J.C. Ryle says, zeal in religion is a burning desire to please God, to do his will, and to advance his glory in the world in every possible way. It's a desire which no man feels by nature, which the Spirit puts in the heart of every believer when he is converted, but which some believers feel so much more strongly than others that they alone deserve to be called zealous men. A zealous man in religion is preeminently a man of one thing. It is not enough to say that he is earnest, hearty, uncompromising, throughgoing, wholehearted, fervent in spirit. He only sees one thing. He cares for one thing. He lives for one thing. He is swallowed up in one thing, and that one thing is to please God. Whether he lives or whether he dies, whether he has health or whether he has sickness, whether he is rich or whether he is poor, whether he pleases man or whether he gives offense, whether he is thought wise or whether he is thought foolish, whether he gets the blame or whether he gets the praise, whether he gets honor, whether he gets the shame. For all this the zealous man cares nothing at all. He burns for one thing and is and that one thing is to please God and to advance God's glory. If he is consumed in the very burning, he cares not for it. He is content. He feels that, like a lamp, he is made to burn, and if consumed in burning, he has done the work for which God appointed him. And so having that kind of zeal, having that kind of passion for God, that's the type of follower of Christ I want to be, and I'm certain most of you want to be here as well. We want that to be true of us. And a huge part of that, we know, is abiding in Christ, being in his word, studying his word, memorizing the word of God, and allowing it to have true overall authority in our lives, regardless of our circumstances and our feelings and our emotions. And we all know that that's a very, very challenging thing to do as we go through day-to-day life and the challenges that we face and are facing right now. But we know that God gives us his Spirit. We know that God strengthens us. We know that God sustains us. We know that he loves us. And we know that that his love for us never changes based upon our performance. That regardless of whether we are, we feel like we're living the best we ever had in our Christian life, or whether we feel like we are absolute, complete, down-and-out failures, his love for us is unchanging. And the work of his Son is complete. And our standing in Christ is firm. And so we have that hope. And so we abide in Christ. So we continue to live in him, to live in his truth, and trust in his character. And so you all know this already, and so it's just good for me to come back and maybe remind you or spend some time of me saying it out loud as a good reminder to myself. So thanks for letting me be here with you. It wasn't supposed to work out this way, humanly speaking, but Amber and I are thrilled to be here with all of you and look forward to being here with you tomorrow as well. So I'll close this in a word of prayer and then turn it back over to Pastor Brad. Lord God, you are so good. And you are gracious and merciful and loving and kind and gentle and patient and forbearing. And God, we know how easy it is to be consumed with our lives, our busyness, our challenges, our struggles. And God, I pray that day by day you help us to see your faithfulness again and again and again and again. To see your goodness, to give you praise, glory, and honor because you alone are worthy. Lord, would you fan into flame a passion, a zeal for each and every one of us in here as your children to live for you, to live in you, to abide in you, to strive after you, Lord, and to delight ourselves in you. That we would delight fully in you, Lord God, and that you would give us the desires of our heart. We thank you for this time we have to fellowship together and to briefly be in your word together and to celebrate your faithfulness. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.